We've been looking into this perfect law of liberty. And we've studied most of the scriptures about it.
I have a question before we start, if you can, please.
All right.
I'm still trying to get straight in my mind this mind of Christ thing. And I recall the scripture that we read in the book frequently about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that the same thing? Is the mind of Christ and Christ in you, the hope of glory? What does Christ in me mean? What's that about?
That's what happened at Pentecost. The seed of God, the Spirit of God, the seed of God really was shed on all flesh on the feast of Pentecost, just as it was in Mary. So the whole mystery of in John, the first chapter, it says, "He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world."
So there's a part of Christ in every person.
The potential for Christ is in every person.
Just the potential. That doesn't necessarily mean there is,
You can look at it. This is something that's almost impossible to understand with our minds. And that's why Pentecost is not understood, because it's the fullness of Christ is in every man. But as we've talked about so often, that he because of his humility, he will not occupy where you are.
Okay, I'm trying. I know. I understand that. But again, now I'm really stuck. The potential, is that the right word to use there? We have the potential.
Well, forgive me for using that word. It's not the potential, it's the fullness. That's what, it's huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son.
I mean, we're supposed to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. It either is or it isn't. So, is Christ in us? Is Christ in every human, in every person?
Right, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
So every man has Christ in him.
Right.
Maybe just a small glowing ember, maybe a raging inferno, but has.
Right.
Is that inaccurate? Okay.
That's accurate.
Okay, now do the mind of Christ. What's that? Is that the same thing?
No, of course not. The mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ in me.
The mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind is emptiness, void, nothing, because it's seen.
When I hear the word mind, the process is thinking, the process is evaluation.
That's not right.
So the mind of Christ, the word mind, is really not an accurate description of that phenomenon.
No, it's a perfect description of that phenomenon. But the mind of Christ is empty, so that there is a clear channel to the Father. He does nothing of himself. He acts. He doesn't think about acting. He is. Doesn't try to be. He is.
You know, the word let there has some impact, because in letting means do nothing. It doesn't mean do something.
It means to repent.
It means to withdraw and let. You can use different words.
Well.
But it helps.
Or it could mean submit to, where you're.
First of all, we have to understand this incredible mystery of Christ himself. His conception, the seed, if you will, the sperma of God, was placed in Mary. And a child grew. natural order of things. And then he was at the dual nature. He was both Son of Man and Son of God. But he had to go to the end of his life as Son of Man to see the emptiness and futility of all the possible things that he could do, all his, however you want to define it, and that was his baptism. That's when he was baptized. And then he was tested to see whether that was the mind of Christ or whether he still, as Son of Man, was, if a son of, the mind of Christ as Son of Man was buried and dead, or it was tested. I mean, or it was not. And so it was tested, the first thing. And Satan, or the mind of Son of Man, tempted him as Son of God. But he ignored it. He paid no attention to it. In fact, he gave scriptures to shut it up. And so from that time forward, his mind, however you defined it, of thinking and musing and considering and all that, was gone, except for three occasions that we've studied so often. He was empty, the Son of Man. Now, that's exactly the same thing that has to happen in us.
Was that sin when he...
What?
When he used the mind of man on those three occasions that we talk about so often, you're saying, was that sin?
No, it was the potential for sin. And he saw through it. So, nevertheless, he repented. The moment there was a temptation to use the mind, he repented. And the repentance took the form, Father, deliver me from this hour. No, for this hour came out into the world the first time. Second time, take this cup from me. No, not my will but yours. Third, Father, why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer except his death and resurrection. And that's the same thing. As he is in the world, so are we. We have to go through the same thing, except that we don't have to suffer the depth of the pain of crucifixion, or we are not tested in the netherworld as he was. Now, what did you mean when you said, oh boy, a minute ago?
Because you said potential again.
Well, I don't know else to, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, as I read those scriptures, I can see nothing else.
When it says the seed of God is shed on all flesh, then that's potential for the seed to be enlivened by sperm. So there's maybe another event here, because not all men answer the call.
Very, very few do.
And so it's God who...
Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone.
But it's God who makes that call.
What call?
The call to the men who hear, the men who receive.
Well, but again, his justice demands that all men have the potential equally.
Well, apparently not.
Well, apparently they do. all they have to do is love the stop loving the darkness more than they love the light.
So it's a personal call. Every man has.
It's repentance.
Can make that decision.
It's repentance, repentance, repentance. It's integrity, integrity, integrity. But nothing triggers that except repentance. Holy Spirit, that's what we've talked about so many times. The Holy Spirit is in the world to do three things: to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Even the potential for sin, according to what you're saying, if I understand correctly, even the potential for sin demands repentance.
Yes. Repentance is the it's like when we say, okay, when we see him we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God, hallelujah, I've seen him. We've seen maybe a teeny little bit of them, then you go on about your own life. That's why there's all these different names, if you will, or adjectives that go on God. It's everything from he who, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah said to do, the Jehovah, there's a jillion, or Yahweh, the one. And we see each of those parts of him, but only as we repent. We don't just quote scripture and say this is going to happen. As we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The only thing that triggers you seeing him is more and more deeper and deeper repentance.
The
repentance.
It's not premeditated. It's whatever. I'm bad. I give up. I surrender this one.
No. Okay. Is that a period or a comma?
That was an exclamation.
Hmm?
That was an exclamation point and a question mark.
Well, I mean, you're trying to understand God with your mind. You can't do it. You're trying to put all of these conditions, if you will, or definitions, and you can't, because you know, no matter how long you've been in the walk, if you just quote a scripture to say that that's what's going to happen, then you've missed the point. It's always more and more, deeper and deeper repentance until you're gone. The perfection is already within you. The sanctification is complete. Everything is done within you. But because he wants the cell to have the same, or the bride, if you will, to have the same, not doing things because he tells you to, but doing things because you've seen him as he is. But the only way you can see him as he is, I mean, for instance, One of the Yahwehs is he who provides. Well, if you say he who provides and you're still trying to provide for yourself, then you haven't seen he who provides. And so, I mean, it's each one of these names of God, if you will. They're not there just so you can claim them. They're there so you can have integrity. And if you're not, if you don't see him as that definition, you repent. And so, you know, the sanctification, everything is finished, but he's never going to violate if where you are, he won't be. And if you're in several areas of your life because you, for whatever reason, then he can't be there. So your garment is spotted by the flesh. So the repentance has to go then deeper and deeper and deeper.
So sanctification is a much, much deeper level of repentance than salvation or redemption, which is from what I've heard is
okay, listen again. Salvation, or conversion, if you will, is the merest of beginnings.
Okay.
In the parable of Jews, the salvation is all you do is you go under, you're in the home that's protected by the blood, and you do that by what? By being tired of some aspect of the world, and so you go under the blood. That's just the beginning.
Right.
But most people stay under the blood and think they're saved. Salvation is the same trip, if you will, the journey that Israel went through. And so they started out in the world, and a very few of them ended up on the mercy seat. But the same things, you're the Pharaoh now, you're mine. And so you go through that until the mind is done, but then you're in the wilderness. Then you finally get into the promised land, and you've got to defeat these seven tribes. But they're not defeated by your actions, they're defeated by your repentance. Because it's finished. But it's not finished in you unless you're seated on the mercy seat and don't get off of it ever. That's where faith alone, whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. Every man that has ever entered the world has the potential for this mystery to be complete. But it's perfected, is the scripture, but perfected means fully tested. Now, I think what we'll do, I'm going to go through and all of these different names for God, the healer, the provider, the banner, each of these, and see whether or not you've been apprehended by it, or if there's still repentance required. More than likely, there will be still repentance required.
All these different gods are in the scripture someplace?
The name of God, not different gods.
Well, I don't recall hearing these things, the God of the provider or the... Yeah.
Well, that's all over the Old Testament.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I mean, that's why you have it. It's Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Yahweh. There's Yahweh Adonai.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Olam. Jehovah... I mean, there's probably 15 or 20 different.
I don't know that.
Well, it's this is why we went through the 3-year cycle the same way as they did back then. And that's why at the end of 3 years, they saw, because it was the Southern New Testament scriptures that fulfilled the Old Testament. And that's what we're going to do again.
Going back to the beginning, Christ in me, I think that's in Galatians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me is not the same notion as the mind of Christ, which is emptiness, vacuum.
Right.
Those are different.
Right. Totally different. One's the beginning, one's the end. One's the beginning. You know that Christ is in you. The end is you're fully sanctified. So there's no place where you're using your mind ever again.
Is that the mind of Christ, or is that Christ in you?
It's the mind of Christ, the empty place.
And that's in Galatians 2:20, isn't it?
Well, that's one of many. It's, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. but he lives in you. He's alive in you, but you have to make room, and you make room by repentance, because again of his humility. And so that's why the names of God are different. They're different adjectives. Are so critical, and maybe I've been remiss, and because we quote, "Oh, when I see him, I shall be like him." Well, not if you're still, not if you haven't apprehended him, been apprehended by him in each of those areas, so you can confess with integrity that it's Yahweh, each one of those, Nisi, my righteousness, my life, my, you know, all of them. Otherwise, you're just kidding yourself. You're still living as a Gentile, but you've got to put God's name in everything. But it's really simple. It's the simplest of all things there is. We just, it's obedience to the nth degree. It's just, but that's why I use the word rebellion. It gets people mad, because rebellion by definition is anything, any place where you're using your mind instead of where you're using, where you're living by faith alone. I don't think that's true at all. I think that that's the fruit of your death. You may think it's the fruit, but when you try your best to seek him, which you have to do, and all men have to do, then that should put them into a state where there's confession and repentance constantly. And that's what the purpose of the Seder. That's why confession is so important in the Seder. That's how this. Mysterious group of people use each other to transform themselves and to enter into the rest, so that there is nothing. They've ceased totally from their own labors. So they no longer see the Sabbath as a day of the week. It's Christ himself in you, and you have to be in agreement with that. Now the last thing the mind wants to do, the mind wants to do anything other than see its uselessness. And that's part of what goes on to see the fullness of God. It has to have that antagonism. Otherwise you just sit on your laurels someplace and think you're, it's like, you know, as we talked about, how many sperm cells every time a man ejaculates? Something like 50 million. And so these sperm cells, they just get around, they go up, and they get, okay, I'm going to go here, I'm going to build a city here, or whatever. And you got the only ones that make it are the ones that enter the egg and are dead. And a new creation has been formed. Well, that metaphor is also true for our spiritual life. And the New Jerusalem is our mother, is the egg. And we have to be so consumed by that egg that there's no reference anymore to self. We don't want what the same things the world wants. We don't see what the same things. We don't fear the same things. We don't esteem the same things. Because we're of a different nature now. This is what the cross is all about. But that question elicited something that's really important, and that is that we will go through these names or adjectives of God till we see its fulfillment, fullness. And again, remember that that's the purpose why the Old Testament is so important. It shows us our life from the world to the mercy seat. And it shows the battles, and it shows how few ever made it. And I want you to be of those that make it. That's why I preach nothing but the cross and the end. I pray I do. All right. So we will do that names thingy tomorrow. If God wills. Anybody else? Did that confuse you more, John?
Creek don't rise. Creek may rise.
I have things to consider.
Wait till we do the thing tomorrow before you consider. Take it, big guy.